This is Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast, brought to you by TaylorTalk.org. Welcome, all my friends and fellow Swifties, to episode 77 of Taylor Talk. My name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
I'm Steve.
And we have a very special guest host joining us from the land down under, throwing some shrimp on the barbie. Taylor, say hi.
G'day, everyone.
Come on, say, you got, please say it.
What? G'day, mates.
Yeah. G'day, mate. So, we're very pleased to have Taylor with us. She's here visiting in Las Vegas right now, and she's been a long-term Taylor Talk listener, right? Since what, the beginning?
Yeah, that's right.
The very beginning, like episode one?
I think I started listening from about episode 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a year and a half ago, roughly. So, we are very, very happy to have Taylor here in Vegas joining us. Well, in Vegas with me, but Steve's on the East Coast, but you get the idea. Taylor's here with us, and we're happy to have her.
Yeah, good to be here.
I'm actually really glad you're here, Taylor, because you can confirm and verify something for me. Because last week we were talking about a submission for the mini segments where someone was saying something about they're so used to hearing Everything Has Changed with the part at the beginning, you know, We Good to Go. And then on the radio, it doesn't have it. However, Maya argued it did have it. And then this person, some fearless chick on Taylor Connect, cleared it up and said in Australia, they don't do it. They cut off that beginning part for the purpose of airplay time on the radio. So have you actually heard Everything Has Changed on the radio there?
I've heard it on the radio, but she's right. They cut off the first part.
They do cut it off. So that clears it up. In the US, they do have it. In Australia, they don't have it.
Wait, just to clarify, what's the first part? Is that with Ed saying,
we good to go?
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's the part that's cut off. Okay, so that's what we were unclear of, you know, when Maya said they do have it on the radio, because here they do. There they don't. Got it. Perfect. You came on the perfect episode, Taylor.
Awesome.
And also, real quick, before we get started, I just wanted to remind everybody, there are only 2 extra-large Taylor Talk shirts, t-shirts left. So if you're an XL and you want one, and you're in the U.S., go to taylortalk.org/store. And go buy one of them really quick because they're about to run out. And once they're gone, they are gone. I am not printing any more ever again. Ever.
Wow.
Steve, you're funny. Anyway, so since Taylor's with us, we're going to have her give us our one lonely news item this week. Taylor?
Hey, Adam. What? Didn't you have a joke you wanted to share with us this episode?
Uh-huh. A joke. It's not actually my joke, but it comes from a voicemail from Asha. So let's hear from Asha.
Does that mean it's actually going to be funny since it's not your joke?
Steve!
All
right, Asha.
Hey, Taylor Talk. My name is Asha, and I really miss Adam's corny jokes. And because I thought they were kind of funny for not being very funny. No offense, Adam. They were kind of funny. But yeah, so since I miss those so much, I have a corny Taylor joke. Okay, you probably heard this already because it's not an original, but whatever. What does Taylor say when she's on a roller coaster? Wee! Yeah. But Okay, bye.
Nice. That's funny. Wee! Thank you for that, Asha. You made me laugh. And you also flatter me by saying you enjoy my jokes. I'll have to bring one back next week.
At least somebody enjoys your jokes.
Steve, I hate you.
Oh, you don't hate me.
So, Diane, thanks for reminding me to play that voicemail. Taylor, what is going on in the news, in the Taylor news?
Okay, she wouldn't be Taylor Swift if she didn't break records, right?
Right.
Taylor Swift has surpassed Madonna and Justin Timberlake by claiming the record for the solo artist with the most sellouts at Staples Center with 11 shows.
Cool.
That's insane.
Yeah.
That is.
Such an accomplishment.
So, Taylor, since you got the Aussie accent going, can you just speak the entire episode and the rest of us will just sit here and listen?
Maybe.
She'll do it. She agrees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, guys, I'm not Australian, so I will read the next news item in my American accent. Taylor Swift attended the 2013 MTV Music Video Awards this past Sunday, August 25th. She presented the award for Male Video of the Year, which was awarded to Bruno Mars. And, drumroll, Taylor Swift won Female Video of the Year for the music video I Knew You Were Trouble. In her acceptance speech, she thanked the fans for voting like crazy, and she even thanked the subject of the song. She said, "I also want to thank the person who inspired this song, who knows exactly who he is, because now I've got one of these," in reference to her VMA award. That's just...
And did you notice who they panned the camera over to?
Yeah, Mr. Harry Styles.
I don't think MTV knows either, though. I think they're just speculating like we do.
Probably. And this is the first time that Taylor has won the Female Video of the Year award since she won it for You Belong With Me back in 2009. So congratulations, Taylor.
Great. Thanks for the news, ladies. So before we get going with the main episode, something I wanted to get your opinions on. We know Taylor does collaborations a lot on stage, right? And when we get to the tour updates, you'll hear more about the most recent ones. But in Nashville, for the end of the tour, I mean, it's pretty heavily speculated she's going to have guests in Nashville, right? Does everyone agree?
That's what we're hoping for.
We're hoping.
Taylor, don't let us down.
By complete random coincidence and through conversation with a friend of mine, I found out that Fun has a performance on Sunday, the night after Taylor's last Red performance in Nashville. So what are the odds? You think Fun, who does not have anything going on the night before, possibly the two nights before, might be one of the guests?
That would be really cool. Do we know if she's friends with Fun?
I don't know. Steve, you would know something like that, I feel like.
Actually, I don't know that. That's a good point. I guess we'll find out. And really, I mean, it comes down to the fact if she enjoys their music. I mean, a lot of the people, you know, she probably enjoyed their music, and in some cases at her level, she's able to meet some of her idols, and it's hard to say. We'll see.
Right. So I guess we'll find out. I think it would be cool. I'm a big fan of Fun.
So are you just stating this now, so if it comes true, that we'll be like, oh, Adam, you know everything. You're all knowing.
Adam called it.
Yes.
Yes, you can all bow down at my feet. I am a psychic. No, I'm not saying that. I just think it would be cool. I just happened to notice they were going to be
perhaps, if they were there.
What?
Oh, pretty much.
That's almost as good as an Adam joke.
What did you say? I missed it.
Well, if you would stop talking for a second, I said it would be fun if they were there.
Yes. That was a good pun.
Okay.
All right. So another thing going on around the Taylor world right now is the thing that just never, ever seems to die. And that is the K word. Although that sounds terrible. I'm not trying to kill off, dare I say it, Kanye. But I feel like that incident just never dies. I mean, that was, what, 4 years ago now?
Yeah, that happened before I was in college, so it was a long time ago.
Yeah, it happened 4 years ago. Yet somehow it keeps coming back around, and I don't understand why. And most recently, in two different ways. Taylor, with her jar of jelly that she gave to Ed Sheeran that said something like, yo, I'm going to let you finish, but this is the best jelly ever. So, does anyone remember exactly what it said?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Something like that.
I think you butchered that pretty good, Adam. Hold on a second. Let me see what it was.
I think it's jam, though, not jelly.
Yes, yeah, it's jam. I think that, which that brings up a whole thing, is what is the difference between jam and jelly?
I was about to say, aren't jam and jelly the same thing?
I think I know the answer. I believe jam has, like, whole fruit in it. Like, they'll actually leave parts of the berry in there. And jelly is just like jellified fruit. Like, it's, I guess it's like a different consistency.
Either way, they're both better than Vegemite, right, Taylor?
That's for sure.
Yo, Ed, I'm really happy for you. And I'll let you finish, but this is the best jam of all time. D.
Okay, thanks for finding the exact quote, Steve. I didn't butcher it that bad, I don't think.
Well, you got the whole jam and jelly thing wrong. I mean, obviously there's a difference.
Oh, sorry.
It's all good.
Difference between jam and jelly, the horror. Anyway, so I think, you know, that ended up getting a lot of publicity. Obviously, a lot of news outlets wrote about it because they love the name Taylor Swift on their publication. but I don't think Taylor ever intended that to go public. I think that was just a joke between friends. However, Kanye did bring it up publicly in an interview where he said his whole attitude on the matter has changed now that he's become a father. You know, he's got his baby now, Northwest. Great name. And
that would have been a good joke, but unfortunately, that is actually the truth. That is what they named the child.
Yeah, North and the last name West, so their name is Northwest. Anyway, he basically said in a nutshell, now that I'm a father and I have a daughter, the last thing I would ever want is to see someone do that to her. So he
finally, he understands after 4 years, he realizes.
Right, but the point I'm getting at is, why does he keep bringing it up? Like, is he milking publicity or what? Like, get over it already.
I mean, since he's sorry, this might be the last time he ever says anything about it, you know?
It's possible.
I mean, it could be over now. We could be done with the Kanye, I'm gonna let you finish jokes.
Well, I think we'll always be making them to each other, but hopefully it gets out of the news already after 4 years. 4 years to the day we're recording on VMA Day.
Ooh.
I know, right? Interesting. See, there's another coincidence, too. Why would he come out with that right around the actual VMAs? I think it was a big publicity stunt on his part. But what do I know? Nothing. Well, a little bit.
A little bit.
So, also in the world of Taylor, a little bit, I don't want to call it gossipy, it is in the news, is Harry Styles coming out and saying, I know Taylor's going to write a song about me. Does anyone have an opinion on that?
I mean, it's the truth. Like,
I feel like saying duh.
What?
I feel like saying duh.
Well, yeah.
I think it's another person using Taylor for publicity. And you know what? He thinks it's all fun. He's like laughing it off. It's all fun and games until Taylor decides to write about his small personality.
Oh, boy.
That was a little rough.
I would have said his small ego, but we all know that doesn't exist.
Oh, good old Harry Styles.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just wanted your opinions on it. Is it for publicity? Is that why he's doing it?
I feel like somebody must have asked him about that.
He probably gets that question all the time. I mean, that could be part of it. You know, it's like, maybe if I state that, yes, I think she's going to write a song about me, maybe people will stop saying, hey, is Taylor going to write a song about me?
You know, I think it's actually, you know, I make a joke about him, which wasn't very nice. I'm sorry, Harry, if you're listening. Which he's not.
But if he was.
But if he was, I'm sorry, that wasn't a nice joke. But I actually almost have a little bit of respect for him in this sense, because he understands, being an artist himself, that artists write about what affects them in their lives, and he was a part of her life for a short while there. So I think it's almost like sort of a... It's almost a mature sort of outlook on the situation. It's like, I understand it's going to happen, and I'm going to accept it when it does. Does that make sense?
That makes sense, as long as when it does happen, he does accept that, hey, you know what, she wrote a song about me, and I'm going to deal with it. I mean, don't be like John Mayer and just try to write something, your retort to her song, and it just be not that great of a song.
Well, I mean, he might write something back, or he might... They've already written something about her. I mean, who knows?
Do they even write their own songs? That would be.
I don't know.
Steve, this is Taylor talk, not 1D talk. I don't know.
I think this has gone
them.
On long enough, then, huh?
Yeah. Right.
Yep.
But it involves Taylor, so it's somewhat appropriate here. Somewhat. Anyway, so I am very pleased to announce that after a not so brief sabbatical, little break there, we are back with our partners, T-Swift on Tour, our experts on the Red Tour, and Sammy is going to give us our update. Sammy, take it away.
Hey guys, it's Sammy at SamIam1331 from T-Swift on Tour, here with your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. This week was the long-awaited Staples Center shows in Los Angeles, California. Taylor has always pulled out all the stops for LA, including special guest appearances by Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Nicki Minaj, and even Ellen DeGeneres has popped up at a show. The Red Tour was no exception to how Taylor loves to surprise her fans. On the 19th, the secret song was Ours, and the special guests were Cher Lloyd, who sang Want You Back, and Sarah Bareilles, who came out and sang Brave. On the 20th, the secret song was 15, and the special guests were Tegan and Sarah, and they sang their hit song Closer. Taylor took a few days off and returned to the Staples Center on the 23rd, where the secret song was Enchanted and the special guest was Ellie Goulding. Her and Taylor sang Anything Can Happen. The last night of the Staples Center, the secret song was again 15, and the special guest was J-Lo, and they sang Taylor's hairbrush song, Jenny from the Block. Taylor will be at the MTV Video Music Awards tonight, where she is nominated for both Female Video of the Year and Video of the Year. That's your weekly Red Tour wrap-up. Bye, guys. See you next week.
Did she seriously sing Jenny from the Block?
Yeah, she did.
In a bunch of, like, bedazzled sparkles and stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, Taylor, you never fail to amaze me. That song, I have such a love-hate relationship with it. Like, I think it's so fun and catchy. And I guess according to Sammy, Taylor calls it her hairbrush song. Does that mean she, like, sings it into her hairbrush when she's getting ready in front of the mirror? Is that what a hairbrush song is?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I guess that's what Taylor does. But we're glad that Sammy is back with us. So, thank you for those updates, Sammy. And we look forward to hearing from you in future weeks.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you, Sammy.
We love you.
Aww. So, our newest segment, Tell Me Why. Taylor, as a listener, what do you think of this segment, by the way?
Yeah, I like it. It's different.
You like Tell Me Why? Kind of roundtable discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah, since it's a roundtable discussion, always feel free to chime in. You've been quiet this episode.
Okay, sorry.
Well, Adam, you've been very talkative as always, so I mean...
And I've yet to find this roundtable you speak of.
We're Knights of the Round Table. Sorry, how to do it?
I suppose it's more of like a virtual round table.
Yes.
How about open discussion, Steve? Do you prefer that phrase?
Yeah, that would work. Yeah, sure.
Open discussion on various topics submitted by Taylor Talk listeners. How's that? Excellent.
That's perfect.
Okay. As long as I got it to Steve's liking, we're good. So the question this week that we chose out of the Ask FM account, which is AskFM or ask.fm/TaylorTalk13, is, what is your response to people who insult Taylor because of her relationships? Go.
I don't even know where to start with this question, because I feel like people who judge her because of her, I guess, dates she goes on with guys or relationships or what have you, it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I don't think she dates a lot for a person who's 23. I think it's pretty average. Like, I'm sure a lot of people who, you know, say that she's dating around or blah, 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 have dated just as many people, if not more. So, I mean, I don't think they have room to talk about her personal life.
Well, I think my logical, non-defensive response is always, don't believe what you read, because the media has her dating any guy she's ever spotted with in public, which isn't always the case. And people tend to believe that. They're like, oh, yeah, Taylor and Will from Parachute. And it's like, no, actually not. You know, that was just... Do you remember when that was a rumor? Anyone?
Yeah.
It was about close to probably a year ago.
Like
about
a year ago.
But the point I'm getting at with it, though, is if you remember the pictures of them in public, the rest of Parachute was actually with them. It wasn't
exactly.
Like
they were like
date.
Getting coffee. And it was like the whole band and Taylor. And, you know, probably she's friends with them. They're good people. They have good music. So I'm sure she probably is into their music, too. So, I mean, it's really silliness, to say the least. I mean, the whole thing is when people go after Taylor about her relationships, it seems like part of it is, that's all that they assume. They assume that, oh, she goes on a date. She wants to be able to write song and make more money. So that's the whole point of it. And obviously, they have not listened to all of Taylor's music. I mean, yes, some of the songs are about relationships she's been in, but not every song has been that way. She has tons of hit songs that have nothing to do with relationships that she was in.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, then, I'm your coworker right now. We're role-playing here. I'm your coworker. Oh, Steve, you like Taylor. Why do you like her? She just dates a bunch of guys.
Really? You think that? I mean, obviously, you don't listen to her music. Listen to her music. Here, borrow my CD or MP3 player or whatever we want to call them now. And, you know,
whatever you young kids are listening
to. You
know,
or read up on it. You know, you can't believe everything that you see. And here, it's not true. I mean, you take a picture and, you know, oh, well, here she is getting coffee with, you know, this person. Well, hey, maybe they're just friends. I mean, that's she doesn't have to be dating. Just because it's just Taylor next to a guy doesn't mean she's dating him.
Right. So, Taylor, I feel like something we're going to get into later regardless is the fact that Taylor is not necessarily as popular in Australia as she is here in the U.S. So have you ever encountered a situation like this where someone's, like, insulting Taylor and you have to defend her?
Yes, I have.
So what's your response?
It just really annoys me because, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's the same here, but people think of her as sort of like a man-eater.
Yeah.
It's the way the whole movie...
A man-eater? She's a man-eater!
Yeah.
And Hall & Oates reference.
Like, I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, and plus, like, I don't think that's really fair to say because there are guys who date a whole bunch of girls, blah, 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 and, like, no one ever says anything about that. But if this nice, sweet girl does it, like Taylor, it's like, oh my God, what's she doing?
Yeah.
It's like...
Funny you say that, Diane, because I actually came across an article recently that addressed the double standard between George Clooney and Taylor Swift, because George Clooney is, like, the ultimate bachelor and has dated more people than Taylor ever will.
Yeah.
He's, you know, obviously an older, I don't want to say older man, but a middle-aged man. And he's even dating people half his age. So, I mean, any age gap Taylor has had, he destroys that age gap.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you never see him portrayed in the media as, oh, George Clooney is a man whore. You know, like.
Although I'm sure there are plenty of people who would say that about him. But yeah, that's not like the dominant thing that people say about George Clooney in the media.
No, they say he's charming and handsome and a good actor and a philanthropist. Like, they target all his good traits.
Which is interesting. So why does the media want to paint Taylor as, like, this girl that goes on dates all the time and blah, 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 that's so bad?
I think because it sells. Yeah. But that's not answering this question necessarily, the tell-me-why question about what's your response. So everyone, give me a quick response. Let's start with Diane and then Taylor and Steve, all right?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
You're on the spot. Go.
Diane, Taylor is a slut.
I would say that's not true. You don't know her. That's not true.
That's Taylor?
Yeah.
Definitely not a slut. I don't know. Mine's like the same answer as yours, though.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I'm glad you agree with me.
Steve?
If someone would say that to me, I'd say, you know what? I don't think we can be friends anymore.
You guys have such weak responses.
Fine.
If someone said it to say, go ahead.
Takes one to know one.
Adam!
Thanks.
Come on, you don't want to sink to that level, Adam.
I don't know, I'll throw my boomerangs at them.
Your boomerangs? Oh my God!
You'll run them over with a kangaroo?
That's right.
Oh my gosh, but anyway, I'm kind of curious about this one because, you know, I feel like we didn't come up with the most creative responses we could have on the spot. So if anybody has a response to that, like, something, a good response, share it with us, please, through any of, you know, our contact channels. It'd be a great thing to tweet us at TaylorTalk13 on Twitter. You can probably tweet us with whatever your comeback is when people do that. And we might share a couple of them in the future if we get some good ideas. But enough of that, right? Maybe we should get to a main discussion?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. So, this is kind of a unique one. We're doing a song analysis, which that part's not unique, but why we chose this specific song is. It's because we have our special Aussie guest with us that we chose Sparks Fly, because Sparks Fly is very popular in the U.S., and it did really, really poorly in Australia, so we're going to break this song down and try and figure out why, maybe what sort of cultural differences got in the way. I don't know. Let's just chat about it for a little bit. So what is the song about, first and foremost? Does anyone have an opinion on that?
It's about the Speak Now tour.
Oh, Steve, you're just listening video to the like, music right? video.
Yes, Steve.
Sorry.
But maybe the theme of the song?
Okay, the song is about falling for someone who maybe you shouldn't be falling for, but you can't stop yourself because there's such a connection and chemistry.
That's what the songwriter said herself, Miss Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Cheater, Taylor. Just because you share a name doesn't mean you can share her thoughts.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. At least we know, you know, exactly what it's about. We don't need to speculate too much on that. I think we more or less agree. So, Taylor, why do you think this did not do well in Australia? And specifically, just to put it in perspective for everybody, in the U.S., it peaked at 17th on the charts, and in Australia, 97. So it did really poorly there relative to here.
Yeah, well, I don't know why it didn't do so well, because it's one of my personal favorites. I don't think it's country. I think it's more kind of upbeat pop. And Australia doesn't really have a good country kind of
scene, I guess. Country scene?
Yeah. So I actually don't know why. I really love it.
Huh.
That's interesting. I mean, could it have to do with the fact that Taylor in general is just not that popular there? So maybe people didn't even give it a chance?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, she sold out for her Red Tour, so they must like her.
Well, that's something, though.
Yeah.
But, like, what sort of people from the U.S. are famous in Australia? Like, what kind of artists do you guys like?
Well, I guess, like, there's Beyonce, Pink, Ed Sheeran's getting pretty big. He's more UK, though.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran's not a U.S.
Sorry.
Artist. So Beyonce and Pink. So we're getting a feel for the style, which is interesting to me because, like you said, Sparksfly is one of the more upbeat, sort of poppy-sounding songs, particularly for ones not off the Red album, because the Red album is far more pop than the previous three. So it's strange. That is interesting.
I got some facts for you, Adam. I did some research. All right. So first off, the Australian equivalent to Billboard would be the ARIA charts. And one of the things to note there is, number one, they actually don't have a country singles chart. They have a country albums chart. And then they have your normal, you know, pop charts. They have a couple other different ones, like they have an urban singles chart, a dance singles chart. So they have a different group of music that they would listen to, I would say. They're more focused and maybe a little less country. Another thing that you got to throw in the mix here, and I know this is how it works in Canada and a lot of other countries too, is there's a lot of local artists to that country that their songs have to be played on the radio a certain percentage of the time. So there's actually a lot of Australian country singers that I was looking through this list, and I was like, I do not know half of these people that are on this list. You know, so there's a good chance that a lot of their songs are being played that you're not hearing Taylor's played maybe as often as it would be here in the States.
That's interesting. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. Taylor, can you confirm that? Like, do you have any sort of regulations in place like that?
I just know that we have the album charts and not the singles. I actually don't know a lot of your country artists here, so it's kind of reverse.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. It's possible, Steve, then. Or it could just be that the Australian country artists appeal to the Australian audience more because they write about things that Aussies can relate to.
It's a lot of the same music, though, too.
Like, instead of like, you know, I ride my truck and drink my beer, it'll be like, I ride my kangaroo, boomerang.
Hey. Like, there's a song, Denham has a song out there called Addicted to Diesel. I mean, that could almost be a hit around here. I mean, it's the same sort of stuff. I mean, we don't have diesel maybe as much as, except for in our big tractor trailers and such, but still, that could be a hit here.
Perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like it has a little bit of crossover.
Yeah.
Right, but now here in the U.S., though, this song was so popular that it wasn't even originally anticipated to be on the Speak Now album. Taylor performed it live, and fans demanded it so much that they reconsidered and did include it, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't include the original version. So why don't we do, like, a side-by-side comparison, maybe, and look at some of the original lyrics versus the lyrics that actually made it to the album and see if we can determine why. Why were these changed? So the first set of lyrics that were changed were in the first verse. Everybody knows the part, you're the kind of reckless that should send me running, but I kind of know I won't get far, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Original lyrics. You say my name for the first time, baby, and I fall in love in an empty bar. I mean, my first impression on that is talking about falling in love in an empty bar because Taylor was 16 when she wrote this.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, bars and like, hey, you're 16, you shouldn't be writing about bars?
No, I think she was performing in a bar. It's what the general consensus that I've seen around the internet is, like, she was performing there and supposedly another, you know, country artist was also performing. You know, they just go through different sets. Like in Nashville, that's pretty much how it is you know, those bars throughout the earlier parts of the day have a lot of young up and coming artists that sometimes, you know, aren't even 21. So Yeah, mm-hmm. You'll have them come in and perform, so that's probably what she's referring to.
Okay, so it was the performance in the bar. So why would they change that then?
I mean, it's possible that since the song is more pop now, she knew that people who like pop music wouldn't necessarily understand that. Or maybe she just...
So you think she made it more pop? Like, the whole bar thing is more of a country idea?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it sounds like based on what Steve said.
It could also be the demographic. I mean, if you guys remember the original version of the self-titled Taylor Swift, there is a couple of words that got tweaked around.
Which ones?
Like, I'll tell mine you're gay?
Yeah, and then also, you know, there's a swear in another song there. But, you know, it could be something along the lines of that, you know, hey, I shouldn't be singing about a bar because, you know, what, you know. I mean, Taylor has, you know, matured in terms of what she's put out in terms of music, but at the same time, it may have been something that just wasn't good for the overall demographic. You know, it could have been written out. Plus, a lot of times you'll watch and artists, like, they sometimes have, like, the original lyrics of things. And you'll look at, like, you know, they'll scratch out this line and this line, change a couple of words. I mean, if you've ever seen someone that writes songs, that's, they go through so many revisions of it, you think they get it perfect the first time. They do not.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's very possible, Steve, as she was writing to the demographic. But, I mean, let's continue on with the changed lyrics, because a few verses down, she changed the whole verse,
yeah, the
not
whole
even
thing
just
is
a couple
different.
Lines. So this might give us a better idea of where she was going with the idea to change it. So in the current verse, the one that everyone knows is, "My mind forgets to remind me your bad idea. You touch me once, and it's really something. You find I'm even better than you imagined I would be. I'm on my guard for the rest of the world, but with you, I know it's no good." And the original lyrics were, "So reach out open-handed and lead me out to that floor. Don't need more paper lanterns. Take me down, baby. Bring on the movie score. Because my heart is beating fast and you are beautiful."
Yeah.
That's, I mean, those two things have
different.
Nothing to do with each other. I mean, she really changed that verse.
I prefer the new verse over that one. It just doesn't even seem to be all well put together. I mean, you can kind of tell it's maybe a little earlier Taylor kind of.
Yeah,
stuff
I mean,
there.
She wrote this in 2016.
Right, and just earlier revisions of it too. You know, it's not quite all there yet, I don't think.
Well, I mean, she said that the point of the song was that the song is about falling for someone who you maybe shouldn't fall for. And the old lyrics don't convey that message at all. Like, it's more like, hey, I love you. Let's go hang out and do fun stuff. But And the new lyrics talk more about, oh, maybe I shouldn't like you. You're a bad idea. Maybe I should, you know, leave and run away, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, like, the whole, I guess, message, like, she tweaked it to fit the message of what she wanted the song to say.
That's a good point, because the original ones are more like a fantasy of being with this person, of what you would do together. And
maybe that's time. You know, that happens with a lot of relationships and crushes and everything else like that. Like, at first you're totally smitten and, you know, this is how you feel. And then, like, you give it, a couple of days and all of a sudden it kind of changes a little bit. And maybe it's not as, you know, sharp in craziness.
Hmm. Interesting. So let's check the last part that was changed, which is just one line, single line. Another few verses down, you have the line, "It's just wrong enough to make it feel right." Which that, we could go all day about that line. But the original one, "We'll strike a match tonight." I mean, I think that one is far more self-explanatory than the other changed ones. "We'll strike this match tonight." Sparks fly. That's the beginning of the spark.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's pretty self-explanatory. So,
I mean, it can also be going on to a little innuendo type of thing. I mean, both lines have that same connotation.
So, I mean, overall with these changes, you guys think they were for the better or the worse?
I mean, that's hard to say, because I listened to Sparks Fly, as the old version first for, like, years, and then this new song came out, and I was like, whoa, it's different. So I was a little bit, like...
Put off?
Yeah, like, shocked by the change. Like, oh, now I have to get used to learning new words then I'm, you know, I'm used to singing the old ones and now I have to learn the new ones and I'm like, oh wait, it's switched and you have to remember. So, I mean, they're definitely very different, but I am a little bit tied to the first one just because it's what I knew before.
See, and I'm kind of like with Steve's point he made earlier about revisions and things like that. I think the newer version's better because it is, in fact, revised, and it was revised for a purpose.
Yeah.
And that is to make it better. So, I mean, Steve or Taylor, do you guys have any embellishment on that?
Yeah, I think it's just really better. It's more relatable, and she seems a bit more mature about it.
Yeah, it is definitely more mature.
Yeah.
Which, that's actually a very fair point, too, because it was released on the Speak Now album, which came out, what, 2011?
Wait, no, that's not right. Did it come out in 2010?
Yeah.
2010?
Right, it came out in 2012.
I'm thinking because we're in 2013, sorry.
No, it's right. Okay.
Tours are in odd years. Albums are in even years.
Thank you, Steve. So, 2010. So, she still, though, was 22 when Red came out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which would make her 20 when this came out. Had she written it at 16, her level of maturity would have changed drastically.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's probably what you're going with, you know, the fact that it's a more mature sound than the original one, right, Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think just a little tidbit here is just going by what I'm seeing here in YouTube. So it seemed like she performed the original version of Sparks Fly on the Fearless Tour. Is that... confirmed, deny anything. I think it was probably like she threw it in every once in a while.
Yeah.
So she mixed up the versions?
When she did it on the Speak Now or on the Fearless Tour, it was actually the original version. And then since then, she's used the new updated lyrics when she released on the album and performed it live.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can send you a link if you really want to see because the video I'm seeing is from July 24th, 2010. So probably was before that. What's that?
I'll believe you. Don't need to send it to me.
But somebody in here, they said she performed this on her Fearless tour when this song was not released yet. Swifty Forever 13 said that on there. So
okay.
I was not in the Fearless age at that point, so I kind of missed out on any of that. But I'm sure it wasn't a regular song, I'm sure.
So let's talk Secret Message.
Okay.
Secret Message in the song is Portland, Oregon. Why?
I don't know.
This is more of a trivia question for you guys. I actually think I know why, based on what I've read.
Is that where she was performing at this bar?
She actually sang this song opening for Jake Owen in Portland, Oregon.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is really interesting, I think, Steve. She opened for Jake Owen in Portland, Oregon. Some people even speculate that this song's about him because you have the line, you know, hit me with those green eyes, baby, as the lights go down.
And then it could be someone that she shouldn't like because she was 16 at the time and he was, I don't know how adult. Old, but older than her.
Like, he fits the bill. He's got green eyes. As the lights go down, you know, could be referring to the fact she was opening for him. That was a performance.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which I'd like to use that point real quick also to counter the fact that a lot of people speculate that this song is about something inappropriate that we won't talk about on this show, because I don't think it is. I have never believed that this song is about that.
I think you can twist the lyrics to make it be about that. But yeah, I mean, I never saw that line as being like show lights going down. That's interesting.
Yeah, but considering the secret message, do you see how it would be that now?
Yeah, I do. Point?
Get me with those green eyes, baby, as the lights go down. Like, that just refers to him looking at her when the lights are turning off, when they're fading out.
What about the line that says, I run my fingers through your hair and watch the lights go wild?
Dancing on stage.
Lead me up the staircase when she whispers soft and slow.
Stairs. She has stairs on her stage.
All right. Okay. I'll take it.
And Diane, I think this is also a mix because it is about that relationship or whatever
friendship.
You said about the
fantasy.
What?
Yeah, it's much more like crush.
A crush. Okay. Good description. I think because of that reason, it's also got a little bit of fantasy mixed in, because what teenage girl hasn't had a fantasy about her crush, her grown-up crush.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so, I mean, that could be mixed in with a little bit of reference to the performance, a little bit of reality, then flash over to fantasy, and just sort of a mix of all that together.
Well, that's really cool. I mean, that she was able to, like, mix stuff that actually happened and stuff she wanted to happen into one song about having an intense crush on someone.
Yeah, which, of course, I'm just speculating right now. Like, my mind is just running. Yeah, I could be completely wrong. Mm-hmm. But, you know, maybe I'm not. Maybe that is what it is.
Well, Adam, another line that's an interesting one is the one that keeps repeating there. It's, 'cause I see sparks fly whenever you smile. And Jake Owen has quite the smile if you've ever seen him perform.
Steve, are you checking out Jake Owen? Steve, it's okay. I don't judge. I don't judge. It's all right.
I mean, Jake Owen's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, the only time I didn't see him smile was when at CMA Fest, he only got to perform one song there because of the weather conditions. That was about
He was mad.
Threw his guitar across the stage, strings first. Yep.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was not happy, but anyway, we'll get to that on an episode of Jake Talk later. but yeah, no, Steve, that is an interesting line, an interesting catch with who it's about.
Okay.
So, Steve, is that your favorite lyric from the song? You like that one?
I mean, that's a good lyric. That probably would be one of my favorites out of there. I'm not sure. There might be a better line, but top of my head, I'd say that's a good one. You know what? Let me throw one more out there just because I think it's just great. I love the drop everything now. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's so powerful.
Well, that's why she opened her Speak Now tour with that exact line. So, Taylor, we haven't heard from you in a while. Do you have any, like, favorite lyrics? Anything that jumps out at you? Anything that's very meaningful to you?
No, my favorite lyric is "I'm captivated by you, baby, like a fireworks show." I just really like it because it's like you can't take your eyes off that person. And I feel it's just a really strong lyric.
Yeah. And then, you know, that also ties with the whole spark theme with the fireworks.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
It's a good comparison. Diane, what about you?
My favorite lyric is, it's actually in the first part of the song where she says, "And you stood there in front of me just close enough to touch, close enough to hope you couldn't see what I was thinking of." Because I've frequently had those moments where you're with someone and you're thinking about something and you're like, wait, can they read my mind? Is it, you know, could this be bad? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean,
obviously, as far as I know, there aren't any actual mind readers, but you never know.
Yeah, no one's ever told me they could read minds. But yeah, it's like, wait a second, they're here. And if they know I'm thinking all these thoughts about them, it could be awkward. And I just...
Well, that could also be not necessarily psychic ability in the science fiction sense, but because facial expressions and things like that, you can read people's expressions and body language and kind of get a vibe that way of what she's thinking if they're close enough, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, you know what my favorite line is? And always has been?
Kiss me in the pouring rain. Oh, no. Kiss me on the sidewalk. Sorry.
It's meet me in the pouring rain, Diane. Learn the lyrics.
Sorry.
That was in both versions, Diane. You can't even blame it that it's...
Sorry. I just misspoke.
It's okay.
Anyway... My favorite line is, "Get me with those green eyes, baby, as the lights go down."
Oh,
of course.
Do you have green eyes, Adam?
I have green eyes. So while we're talking about how this song is a mix of fantasy and reality, I'd like to think that those are my green eyes staring at Taylor as the lights go down from the audience. So it's semi-true, because when I'm in the audience at the Red Show, or when I have been, right? Sort of counts.
Sure.
Sorry, that was my creepy moment of the episode.
Yeah,
that's why we were all silent. We didn't know what to say. We just let the creepiness continue.
Just like restraining order.
No, don't say that.
I'm kidding.
No,
Poor Adam will never get to go to the show again.
It's a joke. Let me look through the lyrics and see if I actually have something that's a legit sort of favorite. I actually think right at the beginning, the way you move is like a full-on rainstorm, and I'm a house of cards.
Yeah,
it's basically like very descriptive in an interesting way.
You can visualize
saying that the guy is like a full-on rainstorm. He's very powerful, and you know, in going back to the whole Portland, Oregon secret message, you know, if she was opening for him, she is learning from him and seeing him and admiring him as an artist as well, and as she's trying to progress her career. And so she's like describing him as very powerful and herself as very fragile and easy to break, which at that point in her career, she probably was. I mean, any wrong move could have killed her career at that point.
Yeah. And plus, like, she was like a young girl and she had a huge crush on this guy. So she probably felt like when he was around, she was very, you know, fragile and like, oh my God, he's here. So she felt like unstable almost.
Right.
Yeah. Because he made her nervous.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we had a good discussion on this song. Definitely covered quite a bit. We did our normal song analyses topics, and Taylor gave us a little bit of insight as to why it might not be as popular in Australia. Any last thoughts on that, Taylor? Why Australians, why you Aussies don't like Taylor?
No, we love her. I just don't think they like her older stuff. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's a whole subject for another day, but I really think it's because her older stuff is more country-leaning. But
there's a lot of country artists in Australia, though. You know, it may have been that
Taylor did a song with one of them.
This is true. She also had a country singer there on her tour at the end of, remember up there at the end of the Speak Now tour, she had Adam Brand. He was from Australia.
Wait, she did a song with an Australian artist?
Keith Urban.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't sing in that song.
He played
a mean guitar.
That's true.
Tim, Keith, and Taylor all work together, so it counts. But, yeah, I think that wraps it up for our Sparks Fly discussion. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Of course, if you guys have any thoughts on it, you're always more than welcome to contact us and share those thoughts. But for now, we've got a couple mini-segments, and by a couple, I mean there's very few this week. So, Diane, what's the first one?
This first one comes from 17_Serena on Twitter, and she says, "You know you're a Swiftie when you take all your Taylor CDs to college, even though you have an iPod. I'm emotionally attached." I know how that is. You just want them with you.
That's like Steve earlier in the episode with this whole CD thing, and he's like, "You young kids with your iPods and MP3s."
Actually, most of the stuff I'm buying now is on vinyl. That's kind of my new latest craze. I like that physical media.
Steve, do you have an 8-track in your car?
I do not have an 8-track in my car, no.
Did they ever make cars with 8-tracks?
They did, actually. Of course they did. In the early mid-70s, that was the popular format there.
Do you actually know what an 8-track is?
My dad has one.
There you go.
It's in my house, collecting dust.
All right, fair enough. Well, I have Taylor's CDs as well, so I'm with you on that, 17_Serena. I'm assuming your name's Serena, so I'll just call you that.
Nice.
But yeah, no, I have physical copies of Taylor's music also. There is something emotionally attaching about it.
True. I'll do the next one here, and this one's from Taylor's Swifties 1313. "You know you're a Swiftie when you cry about just being at the Red concert 3 days after it happened." And that's a true story.
Diane, you were at one 2 days ago. Are you still crying?
No, but my best friend is probably still crying. She was so excited. It was so cute.
And plus, you get that post-concert depression. I swear we all get that. As soon as we're done with our show, we're like, it's over?
That was it?
That was it. It was great. It was amazing. And that's just like, but it's not going to be here again tomorrow. I want to go to the show again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually why a lot of us, if we can, we try to get to more than one show because, you know, you got to get through that whole tour. Because think if you were one of the people that went to the very first shows and then you don't get to go ever again. That's, ouch.
Steve, I feel worse for the people that never get to go in the first place. So.
I know.
Very good point. Very good point.
But you are right. It is a magical experience. It's something, you know, if you have it within your power to go to a Taylor show, I recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Last mini segment is from A Starlit Night on Taylor Connect, who said, "You know you're a Swiftie when you're in the bathroom." I'm already creeped out by this. When you're in the bathroom and the person in the stall next to you is wearing Keds and you're like, "Hey, nice shoes," and then point to the Keds. Creeper!
Whoa.
So, you know, A Starlit Night did put a disclaimer saying, "I made this up." Mm-hmm. But somehow I refuse to believe that.
Hopefully it, like, was someone she actually knew, like one of her friends, and she was just like, oh, nice shoes. I didn't notice those before.
Or maybe she just didn't say anything at all. Maybe thought it in her mind. That's okay.
Yeah.
Either way, that's actually kind of funny. To be honest, if I were wearing Keds and the person in the stall next to me complimented my shoes, I would thank them graciously.
Yeah, but wouldn't you be slightly like, thank you, the person I don't know? And it's kind of weird.
Unless you get one of those weird bathroom talkers, you know, I don't know. That's probably more than anybody needs to go. But there's those kind of people that, like, you know, I'm one of those people. I go in there and I do my business. I get out. I don't want to have a conversation with people, like even at the sink. Like, I'm like,
that's because you're not
here.
A girl.
Yes, this conversation is going somewhere I really don't want it to. let's just finish up this episode. Yeah.
All right.
All right, what are Swifties listening to? One of my favorite segments, because we get to learn about new music. In this case, we're not learning about new music, but I wanted to share it with you. These guys don't need our promotion, but I love this song nonetheless. Get Your Shine On by Florida Georgia Line. Serena texted us to suggest that. I love it. That's she said one of the lyrics in it, of course, says, Ray-Ban's got the whole world shaded, and it reminds me of Taylor. So
nice.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor does wear those Ray-Bans a lot, mm-hmm. doesn't she?
Yep. All the cool kids are.
It's a good song. Florida Georgia Line's part of the Big Machine family. Check it out if you haven't heard it yet. Get Your Shine On.
If you're old enough to.
Old enough to do
what? Old enough to what?
Get your shine on.
Is there an age minimum requirement?
Yeah, like moonshine.
Oh, that's not what that's talking about. Is that what that's talking about? Steve?
Hmm?
Is that what's happening in that song?
I think it would be.
I thought it was more like... Never mind.
What are you going to do, run around with flashlights or something? What do you think it's about?
I thought it was about a sunny day.
I thought it was about...
Where they're wearing their Ray-Bans.
Like, like eyeshadow that was sparkly and stuff. I don't know.
All right, I'll give it to Steve. It is country music. Moonshine would make more sense.
Well, what does... There's a line in there. Homemade jar... A lemon drop. What do you take a sip? What do you think it's about?
All right, Steve, you win.
Yay.
So if you're old enough to try it, try that. If you're not old enough, or if you are old enough, go listen to the song. It's a good song.
Very true.
Is that fair, Steve?
That is fair.
You happy? I put the disclaimer there. If you're under 21 or 18, or if you're under your respective age limit in your country, don't do it.
Just listen to the song.
Yeah.
Or you can listen to the song in preparation for when you're older.
And you can get your shine on.
All right. Stop. Enough. Before we sign off, I do want to remind everybody of the various ways you can contact us. You can always email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org. You can tweet us, Facebook us, Taylor Connect us, or ask us a question on Ask.fm. All four of those accounts are taylortalk13. You can leave us a voicemail or text message to area code 240-31-SWIFT. That's if you're in the U.S. or Canada. And then everybody can leave us a voicemail directly on taylortalk.org. If you forgot any of those methods, visit taylortalk.org. Click the contact link, and it's got all of those methods listed for you. For now, I want to say goodbye to you fellow Swifties. This has been episode 77, and my name is Adam.
I'm Diane.
I'm Steve.
And, of course, special thank you to Taylor. Taylor, say bye to everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Hey, Taylor, before we go, yeah. Can you say something about shrimp on the Barbie?
Nobody says that, remember. What do you want me to say?
This is your chance to publicly tell everybody that nobody in Australia actually says throw a shrimp on the Barbie.
Okay, just FYI, everyone. Nobody in Australia says throw another shrimp on the Barbie. Spread that to everybody.
Can you say it for us, though?
Okay. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah.
Oh, say it with enthusiasm. Come on, throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Adam, you're just mean.
I love Australia. Just smile and give me a Vegemite sandwich. All right, guys. Bye-bye. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See ya.
This podcast is not directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.